Welcome and welcome again to another episode of Global Tech Sailors. I am joined by two amazing people on my right, and I think Rona can start us off. She can tell us who she is and what she does.
Hi, everyone. My name is Joy. I am a co-host here at Global Tech Sailors, one quarter of Global Tech Sailors, and a software developer, and happy to have you here.
Okay, gentlemen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Charlie, and I'm a guest in here, and security researcher. We'll have more on that.
Okay, so, and I am Wikali. I am a software engineer, a data scientist, and a lot of things.
All right, all right.
All stack developer.
Yeah, all stack developer. Very true, very true. So today, okay, we've been doing a series, breaking into series, and today we want to focus on cybersecurity. So this is a conversation for the people who want to get into cybersecurity, for the people who like, into quotation marks, hacking. For the aspiring hackers, I know people are very interested in that, let me say, conversation, right?
Yeah, maybe from the movies. What you see in the movies, yeah. A guy with a hoodie there.
It's all lies. It's all lies. But anyway, yeah, today we have a guest who is going to be talking to us about cybersecurity. And yes, I think I'll let you have the mic and maybe you can tell us how you got into cybersecurity. I think that's a good start.
That's really an interesting question. So how I got into cybersecurity? I think it all started when I joined like campus. And then to some point, I realized like I need to survive. And I didn't have like enough resources. You know, my financial background at home is like horrible, so I needed a way to survive. So I started looking for things like how to hack a bank, or maybe, I don't know, how to steal money from people's phones.
Damn you!
Okay, continue.
And in that rabbit hole, I came across something good. I was like, I'm gonna do this, and that's how I like put my focus on the same. So I would give credits to poverty, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Poverty is a motivating factor.
Yeah, it gave me the push.
Totally. I totally agree.
So, okay, let's just maybe expound more onto that. After you have started searching how to hack a bank. So what exactly, how exactly did you take a course, or how exactly again did you now get fully into it?
Right. Self-taught.
So
Were you doing YouTube tutorials?
Actually that's what I was doing. Like I just Google up for something, read everything. Okay, the first page mostly, you know. Watch the videos if I have to, and then I say, oh, we can do this to Wi-Fi. Oh, we can do this to this. And in that rabbit hole, at some point I came across some things called CTFs. Usually called
capture the flag. Yes.
Very interesting challenges. So those are like, you can think of them as games. They are hacking games.
Yeah.
So right, you're given like a small challenge. Like, I don't know, it might be a phone. You're told to get the flag from the phone. And now to get the flag, you're given like hints.
Yeah.
You're told like you have to maybe find a way to get into the phone without entering the password. Like you don't know the password. So
yeah,
the challenge opens your mind into doing research on how can I do that. So that's actually what is called hacking, like the ability to think on how you can abuse stuff to achieve something good.
Yes.
So after discovering like CTFs, I did a bunch of them, and they helped me like narrow down the path from this huge hacking a bank thing into like it's actually very possible. But like I have to put like a lot of effort. So like CTFs opened like a door for me that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would give credits to that. And after like doing a many challenges, many sleepless nights, a lot of research, many tabs on my like PC, you know, open, Googling up weird stuff. I came across like guys who had like common interest. All right. And then after that, we formed a team. And I remember we made the first CTF. We did the first CTF challenge. I can't recall. I think it was in 2020.
Yeah.
And that CTF was called UCCTF, something of that sort.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Like the whole night just doing coffee, you know, on our machines, just Googling. It was so fun.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So something maybe I'd like to know, after you discovered that this is something I can do, what made you stick to it?
So what made me stick to it is because it was fun and it gave me this sort of intimacy between me and the machine.
Did it give you money?
Okay, yeah. There is that. So after doing like a few CTFs, you would find that we would get swag, like, you know, something of this sort.
We would get money.
And the first, I think, physical CTF, okay, most of them we were doing them online. But the first physical one, I think, was in USIU.
Yeah.
And imagine the winners were getting MacBooks. MacBooks.
Wait a minute, you got a MacBook?
Okay, apparently COVID came in, so we couldn't go physically. So there was that motivation, and then there is now the passion being like, you see, gamers can spend the whole day in the house just vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yeah, it's the kind of the same thrill.
Yeah, it's the same thrill. Like, you're doing this stuff, you find, oh, I've hacked this and this, and you just
feel the adrenaline pumping.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think now that we are on CTFs, I would want us to, before we forget, I would want you to maybe tell us, are there some sites that people can try to do CTFs?
They can get
So
are there some YouTube tutorials or channels that you could highly recommend?
For the YouTube channels, I would recommend John Hammond. Like, he's not globally known. He's in the cybersecurity community.
Yeah.
Known for like making good walkthroughs. Okay, walkthroughs are like a solution to the challenges. And then by seeing on what he has done, you can get an idea on actually other ways to achieve the same. We also have this guy, this channel called Live Overflow. It's actually, I think, the guy who like sort of inspired me to get into reverse engineering. He has really dope content. And then we have this other guy called I think Pon IP. Is it Pon IP? Young IPsec. Yeah, that guy is dope. He's awesome in like what do we call them, machines, hacking machines. So the things called labs. And then other than now the YouTube channels, we have we have sites that can help you achieve the same. So we have Hack the Box. I remember Hack the Box, you have to like solve a challenge. You're new to it, but then you're giving a challenge, and after solving that, they like enable you to join. It was very interesting. And then we have CTF Room, and actually that is a Kenyan based platform. Really awesome by some dude called Jones, good friend of mine.
Wow, you're friends with a celebrity.
I'm not doing marketing. And then we also have, did I mention Try Hack Me?
I said it, but you can mention.
Try
Hack Me.
And there is this other one that we used to use. I don't know why I always keep on forgetting the name. But you can just proceed. If I remember, I'll just mention it.
It's okay. When you remember, we can link it in the description.
Yeah, in the comment section.
Yeah.
So I think I heard you mention a couple of, let me call them career opportunities. You talked about, there's something you talked about, research something.
Security researcher?
Yeah, and then there's penetration something. So now I think I'd like to jump and ask, what are some of the career opportunities that that exist in cybersecurity?
Think I will tend to think it's so wide. So maybe for us, we think it's just cybersecurity, but yeah. when you get in there, maybe there are different
levels, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are levels. So now this is why I give credit to CTFs, because they usually have things called categories. So you will find we have some other categories called forensics, we have categories called PWN, PWN, we have categories called reverse engineering, web, mobile, and so on and so forth. So in those categories, like if you like choose to focus on one, maybe mobile, you will get skills related to mobile, like hacking mobile, not necessarily mobile apps, but mobile, not necessarily mobile phones, but mobile applications. So those like can actually help you categorize like the careers. So if you focus on forensics, we have people who do forensics, you know, like the DCI guys, the ones that try to see like where you are at some point.
That's so interesting.
You choose to focus on web, we have these guys who do things called penetration testing. And just basically trying to get into like maybe Equity's website and see if you can extort money from them, or maybe just do something nasty for beneficial gains or something of that sort. Now we have PWN and reverse engineering. Okay, reverse engineering is good for malware analysts, the people who like find things called ransomware, see how they operate, how they can extract things called keys to decrypt stuff. Okay, I don't want to use all that jargon. And then we have PWN. PWN helps you focus into something called vulnerability research. And I won't lie, that stuff is hard, really hard.
Yeah.
If you put your mind to it and keep on pressing, it becomes easier. And then you look at something and be like, I know how to solve this. I know how to fix this.
Yeah.
It just comes out of your, what do you call it, subconscious mind.
Yeah.
Something of that sort. So, yeah. Cybersecurity is huge, but CTFs can help you narrow down how to what you like.
Yeah.
So if you find you like a certain category, just focus, stick to it.
Yeah.
Make sure you're so good at it, like you can actually do it while closing your eyes. Exaggeration.
Yeah. On that, I think for the longest time, we have been having a debate here about jack of all trades. So I'm trying to think, is it possible for someone to know all the fields, or is it you would advise that someone has to narrow down? Like, can I do it all?
So,
what are the pros of do you cons know on
why,
that?
Why some chefs make the best meal?
Because they focus on one.
No. They add a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. And then the end product is so sweet. You'll be like,
that's a
this.
Good analogy.
So, in the context of cybersecurity, when you're starting out, ideally, like, I would use my personal experience. Like, I never knew what is what. I never had mentors. It's just me Googling weird stuff and jumping through rabbit holes. Sometimes I get answers, sometimes I just get lost. I don't have nobody to ask. It's good to like have a taste of all of them when you're starting out. And then the one that you feel like, yes, this is, it gives me, I don't know, it opens something and unlocks something in my mind. Just focus on that. Put more emphasis on that. My trainer usually tells me, it would be good to focus on one technique, maybe kicking or punching or everything of that sort. But once you're so good at it, you just need one to compromise your opponent. Just maybe a kick, you've been so good at it. Then the opponent is weak. So when you're starting out, be generic. Try out new things. And you might actually even try out things outside the box. Maybe web or UI, UX, and you find, oh my God, I actually love this. This was forcing issues. You focus on that.
Yeah.
What does the day-to-day life of a
security researcher look like?
A person with cybersecurity look like?
Okay, so I don't know for other people, but for me, my role is pretty much specialized, highly specialized. So I go by security researcher. But I usually do exploit development. I also do something called penetration testing. I also do something called vulnerability research. Right. So it depends on the task that I have at hand. So assuming I'm working from home, I'll wake up very early in the morning, do the normal thing, shower.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. Now get to my machine. So let me pick one. Assume I have like a pen test. Okay, for pen tests, again, we have categories. We have networking. We have AD. We have mobile.
You said AD?
Yeah, Active Directory.
Thank
not after death of Christ or something.
Okay, Active Directory.
Well, so assuming, okay, my most focus on penetration testing, I specialize in mobile. So that would be both Android and iOS. I break applications, mostly banking applications, you know, try to find like just means to do some illegal stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, not necessarily illegal. Like maybe I can add a client into their database. Maybe I can transfer money without like, consent or passwords. Just breaking things, you know, that breaking mentality. And that it actually what is called like hacking ideally. But I just call it it's penetration testing. because you're testing the strength of the applications. Okay, now on to the other side. Assume I'm doing security research. So on that side, I focus on something called ARM. So it's
I've seen it somewhere.
Yeah, it's the stuff that runs your phones, your cars, and all that stuff.
Just before you proceed, could you say what is ARM in full for people who might not?
Okay, so ARM, it might be a brand. It has many like. Let's call them contexts. Let me use it on the basis of assembly. So normal machines and computers and all those stuff, they don't understand human language like English. They understand something called code.
Yes.
Most people know code. Like, I don't know Python, developer. And then we have, and now we have something low level. Computers don't actually even understand Python. It has to be converted to something lower than that.
Yeah.
So that they can understand. And it has to understand something called binary, like just zeros and ones.
Yes.
So in between like Python and the binary, we have like a few more layers called abstraction.
Which?
To hide like the complexity because it's complex.
Yeah.
So in there, just above binary, like zeros and ones, we have something called hexadecimal. Most people know that in math.
Yes.
Now above that, we have something called assembly.
Yeah.
So assembly, it's more of like basic instructions like add 1 + 1. So that is mapped into some long, huge number of zeros and ones. And then from there now the machine can understand, oh, I'm supposed to add this and this. So now it's like assembly. Assembly is like a way for you to directly communicate with a machine. Like it's the lowest stuff that possibly a human being can understand.
So you focus on that.
In your day to day. My research is usually based on breaking things like maybe CPUs, we have some operating systems. It's all right. Hard, but it pays well. You can see I'm thick.
Thick. Wait a minute.
I'm fat. I'm fat.
You're a baddie.
Okay.
I think I would also want to know. We have moved now from like breaking down, your. What you do in your day to day. So I want us to think you are a self-made cyber person.
Ideally.
Yes. So what about, are there any, would you advise that if I want to get into cyber now, are there any courses that you would advise on for someone who wants to take it the educational way. Are there any certifications you would advise on? Are there, or would you still recommend go to YouTube, go search those videos, learn?
If you feel you have excess money in your pocket, it's a good idea to like have certifications. Okay, we have generic certifications that show that this person can do this and this, and that's actually the block between you and a company via the HR.
Yeah.
So you just can go and tell the HR, I know this and this and all this and all
that. And there is no thing to show.
You need to have papers. So we have like that bare minimal. For such people, you can do courses from INE.
Mm-hmm.
So we have something called EJBT. It's usually like the most bare minimal stuff that you can do to showcase. Like you have some stuff into cybersecurity.
Yeah.
And then over that, remember, we have so many pads. So INE has all those pads. I don't know, be it web, networking, blah, blah, blah. It has all those. So you can do other multiple certifications from INE. And the reason I am talking about INE is because they are affordable.
They are cheap.
And once you feel like you have a good grasp on cybersecurity, you can sit in for like a certification called OSCP. Now with that, you can have many opportunities because it shows like you are, you have the skill set to do various things in cybersecurity.
Yes.
So other than that, it's also recommendable to have like a basic IT background. Because I find that most people choose to jump into like boot camps, like this is a cybersecurity boot camp.
Yeah.
But then you'll get like a limited, what do you call it? A limited content. So if you study for a broader thing, like maybe IT or maybe computer science, you'll get those small like concepts that that can be boosted by like a bootcamp. Yeah, so it would be good for you to be like have that you know, a basic, not basic, let's call it average IT background before jumping into such sort of a thing.
Yes.
Or you can choose to go the YouTube way. I mean, we have everything on YouTube, Google. Nowadays, you can just ask the GPT to create for you content. it might lie, but it will help like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think from that, I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think previously we've done an episode on computer science graduates versus non-computer science graduates.
Oh, my God.
And it was a very
heated conversation.
Oh, my God.
So you just confirmed that
computer science
degree is important.
Yeah. And okay, you don't necessarily need to have a degree.
But some background.
Yeah, and you need the backgrounds because it gives you like the broader context.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know what analogy I can use. It's just like patching a tractor wheel to a car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. It might like run and move smoothly, but it's like an overload. But if you have those tiny, you know, people hate computer science because it has heavy mathematics, it has heavy, horrible concepts, it has all sorts of evil you can think about.
Yeah.
And they choose to like take shortcuts. So with those shortcuts, you'll get the skill set necessary, but then you'll find some things like don't make sense at all.
Like you have some maybe knowledge gaps
somewhere. Yeah, and to get them, it's a little bit hard. So it's good to have a proper, let's call it proper. I used to use, most people know the term IT because it's generic, it's huge, but it's good to have like a proper, let's call it, computer science background, or maybe a proper cybersecurity background.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a cybersecurity course on a university level or something of that sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other question now is, how cheap is cheap? You said these courses on IE are cheap.
INE.
So, INE. So I-N-E. How cheap is cheap?
For the EJBT, I think it goes for like roughly 20,000 Kenyan shillings.
20,000.
Okay, that's reasonable because you don't just do the certification.
Mm-hmm.
You have content to cover. So it gives you like a broader context on what you're getting into.
Wait, 20,000 is the content and the exam?
Yeah, I think
included?
So. Okay, I think it's usually 40,000. I am not sure.
If it's 20,000, that's a good price.
It's a good price because if you check for other things like OSCP, that stuff is expensive.
Yeah.
I think right now it's almost 300K.
Yes, I've seen one. And I was like, whoa, 300. And if you fail?
Yeah, there is no...
That's
like,
it. You have to pay again.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually
we are not that rich yet.
Yeah, if you have the money, you can do it. And for other highly specialized stuff, like maybe vulnerability research or the security research I'm talking about, the courses are expensive.
Yeah.
You might find the cheapest, like for specialization on the Android kernel exploitation, going for like, what, $5,000? That would be like, what, 500K Kenyan shilling?
Of course.
And most of them are usually in person, so you have to cater for the flights.
Oh, my goodness.
They're usually highly, highly expensive. So I'm choosing to self-teach. You have all that content online. Some of the of it you might ask known people in cybersecurity on Twitter and so on and so forth.
Yeah, wow. A good concept you brought up.
That's what I used to
I wanted to ask, you know, you in your story, you had said at first you didn't have anyone. You were just alone. So how do we find these people? Where do we find them? Are there groups that we can join? Or people in Twitter, are there groups that you know of, communities that people can join to just plug in into so that you're not alone in your journey? I think it kind of deters you. Because if you find something, you're lost, you don't know who to ask or how to move on, it kind of deters your progress. So are there communities you would recommend or I'm a peer mentors?
Oh yeah, mentors. Yeah, I have a lot of them.
Yeah.
So, like how like I came to now start getting to know these people is through just let's call it content. So I'm googling up, I read a good blog post, and I'm like, I want to know the person behind. And down there you find a Twitter link. You just click it and get the profile. So for Twitter, there are some communities. Okay, I just know the jailbreak community for the iOS stuff. You know, it's usually good. You find those good people. And we have Discord channels. We have Kenyan-based communities, which are awesome. You find like, good talent in Kenya. People are good.
Yeah.
One of them might be what Bug Bounty KE. And now we have now the hacking groups.
They're in Twitter or
okay, those Bug Bounty KE, it's on they're on Twitter.
Okay.
But they're usually most active on WhatsApp. And they usually have educational sessions just to change in knowledge. And you might also find these people in like events like the one that just went by besides people. Okay, once you find someone good, don't be afraid to DM them. They might blue tick you
like you respond. Right, like you will you blue tick me if I DM you after
I
this.
I usually respond.
Okay.
I try my level best.
So what are some of the skills I should have if I'm looking to get into cybersecurity?
The skills that you should have, again, a
can
basic
be technical IT. Or non-technical.
Okay, let's start with basic Googling skills. You need to know how to Google. Because if you Google, okay, I can Google for something, get a good result.
Yeah.
You can Google for something and get a totally different off-site result. So you need to know how to Google. And to do that, there are things called Google Docs. All right. So D-O-R, okay, Google Docs. So they're like ways to find specific content that you're looking for. Might be some trick like adding .pdf to the end of your query.
Yeah.
And then you'll find content with the stuff that you asked for. And nowadays, we have ChatGPT. Again, it might give false information, but it gives you like broad overview on where to look at. So I will emphasize on this, have Googling skills, and then you must know how to ask questions. Somebody DMs me and be like, teach me how to hack WhatsApp. I'm like, where do I even begin? How do I do that? And then there might be other questions. You'll be like, this knowledge, it's something like I've gathered on over like maybe 4 or 5 years. Now, how do I pass it to you in like 2 minutes?
Yeah.
I seem to even have a sit-in and then I'll be like, I want to teach you hacking. How can I teach you the knowledge that I gained in like 5 years in actually 2 hours? It's not feasible. It's not possible at all.
Yeah. Okay.
So learn how to ask questions, learn how to Google. And what else? Passion. So I usually tell people, if you're doing cybersecurity because it has money, just drop it. you're gonna give up in the first few days.
Yeah.
Because I find people be like, hey, Charlie, I want to know what you do. I'll be like, start here and here. And then I follow up a week later, I'll be like, I give up. I'm not doing that stuff. I am no way burning my mind. But consistency is something good. Like, you read something, it won't make sense. You read it again, it doesn't make sense. Read it thrice. It will start making sense eventually. And at some point, it will be like in the back of your mind. You'll be like, somebody asks a question and be like, I know this thing.
Yeah.
I can remember. I can vividly remember where I got it. Maybe you can give them pointers and they'll find the solution.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think those are the skills that you need. Consistency and patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're making an exploit. It's not working. You're just there cussing. Trying to figure out what you did wrong, or why you were even born, why do you even exist, why you made those career choices. It's funny and good at the same time.
Yeah.
It's that toxic relationship that you don't want to move on from.
So let's take this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I am coming in for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
You're interviewing me for a let's see, which is the very basic, or rather, how do your interviews for cyber, people in cyber, how do they look like?
So, ideally, most of them are mostly technical.
Mm-hmm.
So, you might find, like, I'll use the basis of Safaricom because it's mostly known in Kenya. They might give you a CTF challenge. And then you just capture the flag, submit your report, and boom.
So back again to the CTFs.
Yeah.
You need to those are a must know.
Okay, it's not a must know, but you need to have like a good grasp of them because they tune you into like, I don't know how, they just open something in the head, something in the mind actually.
Yes.
Yeah. So most of the interviews are usually technical, but for some basic roles, you might have questions with options. So, but then they limit you in some way that even if you pick the options, you will probably fail if you don't know what you're picking. Like, you know,
like the options are very similar to each other.
Okay. So I'll give an example. Mm-hmm. Assume you're going for, what do you call this thing? I think it's called SOG.
Oh, SOG. Okay. Yeah, Tier 1. Okay.
You know, all those stuff. Now, assume you're going.
Should they leave this podcast?
you should just blend in. So assume you're going for an interview for such a role.
Yeah.
You might be given a task on logs, right?
Yeah.
So you're asked a question like, on this day, what event happened? So, I mean, again, you need to know like the tools to use to read the logs. You need to know the tools to use to like create specific filters to get exactly what you want.
Yeah.
So you find the question has a question with options.
Yeah.
But again, you need to have the concept behind to know the correct answer.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, all of them are highly technical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for like vulnerability research. You might be given like a specific version of a browser, and you're told like create a JavaScript file, maybe a HTML file with JavaScript exploit that once opened, it creates like a file in the C directory or it
does
something of that sort.
Yeah.
And for you to prove that, you create now the exploit. So it's usually good and fun.
All right. Guys, we have to get our CTF.
Fun, you see.
CTFs.
Yeah, do those things.
Okay, so I think now I'd like to know what are some, okay, maybe you can set the expectations for the people who are aspiring in, what is his name again? Is it Hulk or, I don't remember. Reduce your expectations. So can you set the expectations for people who are aspiring to get into CyberSec?
So for the expectations, you see on hacking movies, you just see people doing
very fast and they are
in real life it doesn't work like that. In real life you scratch your head, take 20 cups of coffee, walk around,
stand up, sit down,
your head, all that. It's stressful and it's hard. I won't lie, it's very hard. So if you don't have like time and dedication to like read blogs, you know, research and keep on blending into the changing environments. Because in cybersecurity, whenever we have like things we call vulnerabilities, we have fixes for them. Yeah. And it's usually like a tug of war. We have things called blue teams. So those are the defenders.
Yes.
They defend systems from being compromised.
Yeah.
And then we have the red guys.
Yeah.
They are the offenders.
Yeah.
So they offend the system. So usually like a tug of war.
Mm-hmm.
They do this, we do that, they do this, we do that. And you have to keep up with the changing technology, changing environment. So you have to be more proactive, reading new blogs on Twitter.
Yeah.
Reading news articles. I don't think I do those though. My basic source of like growing stuff is Twitter.
Yeah.
So you need to keep up with the changing environment. And then for it being hard, you also have to have like a hard head, you know, Dawayamoto ni moto.
Yeah.
So you also need to have like passion. You just don't do it for money.
Yeah.
You give up.
You've really emphasized
yeah,
on that.
You give up. So, but if
passion,
it's in your
passion.
If it's in your jellies, if it's in your blood, like you just feel like a warrior, just do it, man.
Yeah,
it's gonna pay off even though it's hard. So reduce your expectations, have passion, and have a dynamic mindset. Like things are changing, so keep changing with them.
Okay. I have to ask this. You know, we had the latest feud. We have had a lot of cyber attacks as a country.
Oh yeah.
I think there was one, the funniest one was the one that I laughed the most was the one that a student, 16-year-old or 14-year-old, hacked Kabarak, and he was telling people, if you don't give me 60,000, I will not do it. Yeah.
So this was the Facebook hack.
Yes, yes, that one. And there was another one for the e-citizen that happened.
So
I'm wondering, as a country, does it mean that we are that bad when it comes to what's happening?
We are
always
not,
being hacked.
We are not bad as a country. We actually are good.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the, let's say, not highly developed, the developing countries like South Africa, they get like a billion hacks per year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why? It's because they're growing. And these people know if you try to push this hard enough, we're going to get something out of it. So for us, we have a fairly, cybersecurity is probably a baby-ish concept in our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that they are trying to like keep on improving on. Mm-hmm. And that's why you find like we're having new enhancements on like something that didn't exist, like the Cybersecurity Act or such sort of things.
Yeah.
Policies on GRC and stuff. So it's something that is constantly growing that wasn't there before. Because if you are found guilty of hacking, like right now, we don't have specific guidelines on how to punish you.
Oh my, yeah.
So you might get like you're having huge fines, unrealistic fines.
Yes.
For something like just, you might find like viewing the source of a page, they might consider that proprietary information.
Yeah.
So you might be actually jailed for that. So it's something that is constantly growing in the country.
Yeah.
But we have like private sectors that do a real good job. Like our company does a real good no marketing.
It's okay. You can market it. Yeah.
It does a really good job in like trying to prevent that. So that's why we have the things I said against SOC. They keep on monitoring like people sending traffic to this point. Are they sending malicious traffic or like what's happening? And then they keep on like being alerted. If something suspicious happens, they can be able to block it before it gets like incepted or something of that sort.
Yes.
So I would say it's something that is constantly growing. It's not that we have a horrible security. Whatever.
Yeah, we are just taking those two baby steps.
Yeah.
All right. Gives us hope. Gives us hope.
And that also means if you are venturing into it right now,
it's a good time.
Yeah, it's a good time to start like planning.
Think I should think about
it.
because Right now, the bar entry for most of these fields is very high.
Mm-hmm.
When I was starting out, you could just get into like, let's use a bank as an example, by just using maybe default, there's something called SSH.
Yeah.
Default SSH credentials, yes. Just root or root admin.
Yes,
and
yes.
And just input, just that.
Oh my but goodness.
But now people have resiliency. They've known that that's bad and it can be used to compromise. So things are changing. We also have, like, when I started out hacking mobile apps, we didn't have Flutter.
Yeah.
And it's a new technology that I have been forced to learn and, you know, try to break in.
Like, yes.
You just have to keep on changing with the thing that the gets trends. Thrown at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dynamic mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So now, as we finish, I think these two things I had you mention, blue team and red team.
Oh, yeah.
And then I know these gray hats. I've heard it somewhere. I'm not into cybersecurity, guys. I'm not into that. But so maybe you can give us the distinctions, like what is a blue team, red team, gray hat, black hat, as we finish.
Okay, so I'll start in with the hats. The generic concept, the generic word it's for these cybersecurity people is hackers.
Mm-hmm.
So you have good hackers like me, you know.
Yeah, you said trying to save the world.
Yes, yes. So these are the hackers who hack for a good cause. Like, I'll give an example. I'll use maybe something like Safaricom. So we are given a task to hack into Safaricom, write a report on how we did it and how to fix. So if somebody comes and tries to replicate the same, they won't be able to get inside. So those are called white hat hackers.
Yes.
Because they're hacking for a good cause.
Yes.
Okay. And then now we have those ones who are like, they keep on changing.
Yeah.
They might be like, I'm going to do this for money. And then they'd be like, I'm going to do this to help people.
Yeah.
So those are called gray hats.
Yes.
Because they can do evil. They have the potential and they can also do good.
Yeah.
And they do. It's not that they only have the potential. And then now we have the bad guys. So these are, I don't want to create continental conflicts, but these are people like from Russia.
Yes, I knew you would say that.
They are known for creating the worst malware you can ever find.
Yeah.
Sort of Stuxnet. Okay, we also even have government agencies, not agencies, government like arms who create such horrible weapons. Okay, not necessarily weapons. Let's call them cyber weapons.
Yeah.
And they're not used for good, they're used for bad. So the people behind that, we can call them black hat because they do dark sort of stuff.
And that's, you know, it's like very mind-blowing how cyber can literally cause world fights.
Imagine.
Like, can disrupt. Yeah. I'm just literally.
I'm just in some slum in Kibera and I just press some buttons and I've launched a nuclear war.
Yeah. Imagine.
It's mind-blowing, actually.
Very mind-blowing.
Yeah. So, we were on the other things on, like, blue team and the red team. So for these, for the blue team, we have the people who are constantly monitoring systems, seeing what's happening, what's going in, if there are malicious activities happening, reading the logs, trying to see like what's happening. Those are called the blue teams because they help monitor and prevent systems from being compromised. And then now, on the other hand, we have the red team guys. So these are the guys who keep on, like, they have a club. They keep on hitting the system. And then they're trying to get in and all that stuff. Now, these are the guys who are called the red teamers.
The red team.
Yeah.
Now we know.
You're wearing red.
Wow.
And you're wearing black.
We also have actually something else called purple team.
Oh, yes. I've had a purple team. But I don't know what it does.
It's
please
a
tell me.
Of blue and red.
This is sort of. Sort
of. Hey, there's a lot. There's a lot to learn.
Yeah.
But before, I know you want to say we are finishing
might,
it
You might
want to
follow some good person called Amajit Labruham. Labruham, oh my God.
In Twitter?
Is, yeah.
He's please come again with the gamer. Name.
Amajit.
Amajit. Okay, I'm going to look for that person.
I called him Labu. He's a good guy on purple team.
Okay.
Now, I think the very last of the last. I cannot end this episode without wanting to know on my own basis. mm-hmm. as me, how would you advise me to protect myself from being hacked? Oh. What are some very, I know there's a lot, but yeah. some very general too. General safe. Tips. Yeah.
All right. How about you stop being stingy and purchase that one antivirus that you
can for install my on your machine?
Phone. For your machine? For your machine, you can just turn on inbuilt stuff like what do you call it? Windows Defender.
Mm-hmm.
For a Linux-based machine, you don't have to worry much because we have less malware activity going on.
Yeah.
But you still have antiviruses for the same... That's like the bare minimal you can do.
Yeah.
Because it will help you find stuff, like try to do malicious activities on your phones, on your machines, and so on and so forth. So start with an antivirus.
Okay. And yeah. I should not also repeat passwords, right?
Oh, that's yeah, very... there's that. There's that. Your users has changed as okay to actually create complex puzzles that you're going to forget
so that every single time you have to remember to
reset, yeah, and turn on two-factor authorization.
Oh wow, and the way we ignore these things. Thank you, thank you. Now we know.
I actually think Rana said something like, the cybersecurity world is so large, we cannot cover it in one episode.
Very large. We really can't. Maybe you should come back for a
part two
tutorial.
What do you think?
I think that's doable. If I still be alive, I'll be open.
Please.
Okay, great. So I think that really now brings us to the end of our episode. And I think I'll let Charlie give us a parting shot as we close.
Parting shot.
Yeah. What's that one thing? You can. It can be a one-liner. It can be two sentences. It can
from all two the whole conversation. Yeah. In general,
that's one thing.
Yeah.
Don't do it for money. Do it for passion.
Ah, wow, good okay. one.
Yeah,
if you do it for money, you will be.
Yeah.
You will do. There's a word I'm looking for.
You'll
English imepotea, but it's okay. All right.
Maybe Rana, you can tell us something before you close.
I think for me, I will emphasize on doing it for passion, because I think I was one of the people who were in the money part.
Oh my God.
Yes, Charlie knows because I've been pestering him until I gave up. Because
were you the person who was given a week and then they checked you and then you were ready to give like, up?
Not for me, guys. I'm not getting any money. So do it for passion, as Charlie says. Yeah.
And also keep on reading stuff, those blog posts, write your own actually.
Yeah.
If you find that you don't have money to do those certifications, when you read something, create a blog for the same
and
show
important.
Other people like, I'm doing this, I'm interested in this.
Yeah.
And that's actually blog posts act as your what notes.
Yeah.
So you might find you referencing to your own blog.
I'm like, that's true.
Yeah. So when you're writing like a blog post on something, write it like you're taking notes for yourself.
Yeah.
Not other people. It's your own main thing.
Yeah.
And that helps people and yourself at the same time.
Awesome. So document your work. Document everything.
Yeah, documentation.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, I was floating all through this episode, but I am glad you have come to the end of it. But I'm joking, guys. I hope you've learned a thing or two, as I have, because I think for me it was kind of eye-opening. I might do it for the money, who knows? I might get passionate.
You will give up.
I might get passionate along the way, who knows?
And then you might actually find, I don't like web, I like cybersecurity.
Yeah, you never know.
I'll be there with the money plus the passion. Anyway, guys, remember to buy our merchandise. I'm definitely going to plug our link down below the episode. So today we are not in our merchandise, but it's some good stuff. When you check out our social media pages, you're going to see pictures of us wearing our merchandise. So maybe Rana can tell us where we can find us on TikTok.
Yeah, we are Global Tech Sellers Podcast on TikTok. We are
on Instagram.
Global Tech Sellers also as well.
On Twitter.
Global Tech Sellers Podcast, Spotify, everything. We are Global Tech Sellers, guys. Yeah. So go check our stuff out.
And also follow me.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
You can actually give your social media.
Yes, what's
Oh, so my social media has a weird name. You just Google up for Charlie Wiz, you'll find me.
Charlie Wiz.
If you want him to mentor you, there you have it. Go DM him.
Yeah, and test that theory.
Rana, you can also tell us where we can find you personally.
I don't even remember. As Jay Kome on Instagram, find me there. I've forgotten my username. Wow,
okay. And you can find me at I think what? I also forgot my name.
Botsa. It's funny how we are remembering.
Underscore dot Botsa dot underscore. Why am I even forgetting my own name? But anyway, it's been nice having you, Charlie. Maybe we can do this some other time.
Sure.
Yeah. Till next time, guys.
Adios. Bye. Buenas noches.